Well, all right. Let's turn to God's Word, Malachi chapter 3. And before I begin, let's bow in prayer, shall we? So we can ask the Holy Spirit to really speak to us through God's Word. Father in heaven, we pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move among us in this church. O Lord, I pray that you would quicken every heart here. Lord, I pray that as your word is heard, that each one of us, O God, may know your love and your grace, and we may come to cherish Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we may turn away from the darkness of this world. O God, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray, amen. Malachi 3:1. You know, there's an old saying that goes, some people will change when they see the light. Jesus said in John 3:19, this is the condemnation of the world, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. In fact, God began to reveal the light of salvation to the Jews almost immediately as he rescued them from Egypt. Right immediately after the Exodus, the glory of God was physically revealed to the Jews. The pillar of smoke in the day and the pillar of fire by night, which both guided them and protected them. The physical appearance of God's glory. Then, as Moses went up on the mountain, God saw the glory of God, and as he came down, the glory of God was reflected in Moses' face, and people couldn't even stand to look at it. It was so brilliant, and they asked Moses to put a veil over his face because of the glory of God that was reflected. Finally, as Moses directed the building of the tabernacle in accordance with God's plans and direction, the glory of God actually came into the tabernacle and settled over the Ark of the Covenant. Visible, the visible glory of God, God with his people. The high priest would go in and offer sacrifices, but from time to time, God wished to speak to the people, and the glory of God would radiate so brilliantly from the tabernacle that all the tribes of Israel would be called to the tabernacle, and Moses would go in and find out what it was God's word had for them. This was the visible presence of God with his chosen people. But you know what? The Bible tells us that no matter what they saw, no matter what God did for them, many men loved the darkness more than the light. We read in the scriptures how they worship God in the temple, but eventually they begin to disobey him in their daily lives. Ultimately, that disobedience got so bad they started worshiping pagan gods on the high place, bottomed out. People don't change. The glory of God left the temple. God applied the heat. Israel was conquered and carried off into captivity. Only a small remnant. But God also is full of mercy and love. And so 70 years later, he brought the Jewish remnant, just a small remnant survived. He brought them back to Jerusalem and provided them everything they needed to rebuild the temple. And here is where our prophet in today's scripture comes, Malachi, the prophet. He is the prophet, the last prophet of the Old Testament. After the people had come back, after they had rebuilt the temple, prophet Malachi, God spoke through the prophet Malachi and was answering the people's question, when will the appearance of God come again? When will he come back to his people? When will God? He also says that you, Christian, are made righteous by faith. God spoke through his prophet and he said, the Lord is coming to his temple. And that's what the Jews hoped for. They thought God would come back His Shekinah glory would set very twice. Finally, sitting on top of that same Mount of Olives that the Shekinah glory of God rested upon after departing the temple, Jesus would look down again at Jerusalem, the same Jerusalem, new temple where God would dwell. And that temple, the old temple was built with common stone. And before God could come into the old temple, it had to be ritually cleaned with sacrifices. It had to be prepared. And the prophet Micah says, "Behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me." Because the Lord purifies his new temple, must be prepared to receive the Lord. But God is coming. And he will clean out the threshing floor. 3:12. As God comes near each one, each person, as God comes near each one, you have only one of two possible responses. Either you fear the Lord or you turn away in rebellion. Either you fear the Lord or you turn away in rebellion. Rebellion, the Bible is clear. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away the alien, because the wrath of God is coming upon this world. And the wrath is directed to those who do not fear the Lord. And so, the effective preparation. Verse 2, Jesus said in Matthew 5:15, "Assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled." And in Luke 21:33, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." It's the law that prepares each one to receive the gospel. Because when the law has done its work and you receive the good news and ask Jesus to forgive your sins, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, as your old nature is full of darkness and sins of the world cling to you, and the Bible says God's wrath is coming. And so the Christian clings all the more to God's word and to his promises, the gospel. And the Christian trusts in Jesus as his or her only Savior. And so also the Holy Spirit in you continues to cleanse the temple. The heart of God's word convicts each one when you sin. The Holy Spirit calls you to repentance, turns you away from the sins of this world. Your new spiritual life, which God gives you, loves God and desires, just like King David in Psalm 51, "O Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Just like the grime that clings to our clothing from this world, and you have to beat it out with soap and water. We don't think about that very much anymore because we've got these washing machines that have got an agitator in it. But in the old days, they used to scrub up the clothing with soap, and then they'd put them on rocks and they would beat them with sticks to beat the dirt out of the clothing. In the end, and whether that end be today or tomorrow or 50 years from now, in the end, remember this: you cannot be clean enough on your own. It's not your cleanliness that counts. You cannot be righteous enough on your own. It's not your righteousness that counts. In the end, you never can be righteous enough. But in the end, be comforted by this: it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ in which you stand. It is the word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in you that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is your heart's desire. And when you want your sins to be washed away by the blood of Christ, when you fear God's wrath but love his mercy, when you place your full trust in Jesus Christ, Then the refiner's fire has done its work. This love of Christ, then, is your offering of righteousness that is pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord says to you, I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. God promises us he does not change. And he sent his son to die for you, that your sins may be purged and washed away forever, and that you may have, the Bible says, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. May his name be praised.